And you are listening to FW Live here on the FW Radio Network, Popbean Live. I'm Patrick, your host, with me, Danny Danger. We'll see when the rest of the crew gets in. But Danny, we're in the summer heat, and
yes, in the heat of summer,
and it's being followed by a heat wave.
And 98. Heat wave 98.
Well, no. Heat wave 2023, sir.
In the Sandman and Tommy Dreamer main event, right?
No. That's no, not
Sandman and Raven. Heat wave.
But we are getting Trick Williams versus Ilya Dragunov at Heatwave 2023. So
Ilya didn't beat the champ, so now he's going to go fight his friend.
Yeah, well, he blames Sam for the loss. So.
Well, you know, it's much easier to blame somebody else than yourself, you know?
Yeah, so the Tuesday edition of NXT on the 22nd of August will be where we get NXT Heatwave. Because not only is NXT recycling WCW pay-per-views, we can't forget that they also own the ECW.
We gotta recycle everything we got. It's all about, you know, recycle, reduce, reuse, and trying to save Mother Earth here. So that's the goal.
I'm ready for NXT Anarchy Rules.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest, right? Which one would you like to see next?
Guilty as charged. December to dismember.
We retired that after how terrible that shit was in 06.
That's true. Yeah. Massacre on 34th Street.
Hardcore hell.
There you go. Yeah.
No, it was Hardcore Heaven.
We're changing it.
That's true. It was Hardcore Heaven, and then Wildside called Hardcore Hell. Yeah.
But yeah, I think Heatway was the one that they had the most of, because they had, I think, Heatway even before they started doing pay per views.
I think it's either that or November to Remember, probably.
No, it's November to Remember. I said it was November. Oh yeah, it was. I don't know why I was thinking November to Dismember, but you know.
It was December to Dismember. There was one of those. I think that was the ECW one that was awful.
Yeah.
Oh no. Okay, so I'm looking at it. In 95 they had November to Remember and then December to Dismember.
Okay. They should have a special tribal, you know, Roman Reigns one that's called, you know, Living Dangerously, Paul Heyman. I mean, come on.
Orgy of Violence. That sounds like a fun NXT name.
Yeah, that's a good family show right there.
Yeah. Terry Funk's WrestleFest.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gilbert again.
WrestlePalooza. It was a good one that they used for a few years, I think.
Yeah.
Trying to find any other fun ones. Anarchy Rules, but we have to use the Z at the very end.
Well, the Z is how you know it's tough and it's not offensive. Okay.
Precisely. But before all, the petition is still out there for Hog Wild, because, you know, we care about Danny's happiness here.
Well, we saw one on the WrestleCrab site somewhere down in South Georgia at an actual Harley Davidson dealership that will be called Hog Wild, and it definitely makes me want to throw up on some pigs.
Like I said, beggars can't be choosers.
Yes, they can. That's what America's all about.
You're getting what you asked for. You just don't want to go.
I was not specific enough, apparently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to a good Hog Wild. That's a shitty Hog Wild.
Yeah. Was there ever a good Hog Wild, though?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No. Don't forget that he was a Hog Wild with Hulk Hogan on his birthday. All by himself. Reclaim his NWO World title.
We don't give a fuck about that racist.
No.
He was prejudicial, not racist. Difference.
I don't think so.
Using racial slurs is not prejudicial, sir.
That's racist.
That's why they're called racial slurs. Don't do a segue about that. We're not going taking this show that direction. Okay.
You did this to yourself, Danny Danger.
I did not. You did it to yourself, sir.
I'm chilling later in the show.
This week's Big Brother contestant Luke, whatever his last name is, used the N-word during the live feeds.
So Vince McMahon, brother.
Okay.
Yeah, all
wearing a do-rag and talking to a white guy.
And Booker T just let him do it, too.
Mm, so he was expelled from the house.
As he should have been.
I mean, at this
age, excommunicated. Cast out into the cold, uncaring wasteland.
It slipped out so casually, too, and he just, like, laughed it off. Like,
he did. His reaction was the worst. Like, if he had felt bad, I mean... If he had felt bad, I mean, he still should have been, disqualified and removed from the house. But at least I would have had a little bit of, you messed up, you feel better, okay?
Dude just legit laughed it off and was
like, "Oh, I'm going to get in trouble. I've done worse things." But you just lost your chance of $750,000.
I mean, which after taxes is like enough for a hamburger.
But still, yeah, I mean, not that he was going to win or anything.
But now he definitely won't.
Now he definitely won't.
He probably would not even, I mean, I don't think there any player who has been disqualified or kicked out of the house has ever been invited back to the finale, so... So long, Luke. May every door hit you on your way out. So back to what Danny signed up for here before we win. Summer Slam.
You might lose me before you lose Danny. I'm tired.
Slamming your summer like nobody else can.
The biggest party of the summer.
That was last night. Sorry.
We had 9 matches. No match on the pre-show.
I think we stopped that.
I was about to say, I think they're not doing those anymore.
Which is good, because I don't want to sit there and watch them talk for an hour anyway. So.
Yeah. All right. So here we go. We kick off the show with Logan Paul defeating Ricochet in 18 minutes. He had brass knuckles or a ring that was passed on by one of his, people.
I didn't see that. I just saw a nice punch to end it. It's not Logan's fault that glass jaw Ricochet doesn't have a leg to stand up on after that.
He contacted William Regal and
learned the power of the punch.
And William Regal told him, and trained and adversed him on the power of the punch. And I think more impressive than his win is him, flying to wherever the fuck and still in his wrestling gear to be there to corner his brother for the boxing match that same night. I think that's more impressive than any feat he accomplished during the match.
Yeah, we were from Detroit to Dallas.
I was talking to one of our mutual friends, and he was like, they're starting off with Logan and Ricochet, and jokingly, I was like, yeah, Logan's got a fight tonight. And then his ass walked out, and I was like, oh, shit.
Still in his wrestling gear. Like, he didn't even change. He literally just went to the – he just – left the match, probably said a few goodbyes, and then hopped into a car that took him to the airport. And
you think he said goodbye to Samantha Irvin?
No, because she, I mean, he might have waved after the match or something, but
I mean, wasn't he asking her to say his name again to say that he won?
Yeah,
but I mean, I would say that kudos to him though, he was a good brother to be there for his brother, you know.
I mean, they're both pieces of shit, but at least pieces of shit stick together, right?
Yeah. What have they done that's bad?
When they were doing YouTube stuff,
Logan filmed a dead body.
Yeah, they went to that, you know, the quote unquote suicide forest in Japan and found a dead body and sat there and filmed it and all this stuff and talked about it and put it all over YouTube, you know, to try to get himself over and get the pops and hits, you know, rather than paying honorable respect to somebody who died at their tragic end of their life. He used that for his own personal gain. So to me, that's pretty much what wrote me off, you know, wrote him off. Fuck that cracker.
I've never seen any of their social media.
I haven't seen it either, but that's what's out there if you want to see it. And that's all you need to know to understand the kind of person he is.
Yep. Gotcha. I mean, as a person, fuck him. Actually, you know what? As a person, I don't really care because I have never been interested in Logan or Jake Paul. I had no clue who the fuck they were until Logan came into the company and then Jake Paul's name was like literally everywhere. So I had no clue who they were.
Yeah. Until they got associated with wrestling and then somebody else told me about it and I was like, that's horrifically disgusting. Fuck those guys.
He's solid as fuck. Gave me a 24-hour
ban on Facebook.
Yeah. As a performer, he's solid as fuck. But
he's outstanding from bell to bell. No, definitely.
But other than that, I don't really care.
All right. Next up, 17 and a half minutes. Cody Rhodes defeats Brock Lesnar after Brock Lesnar pretty much almost destroyed Cody for 15 minutes.
Well, it's the adrenaline in his soul that kept him persevering. Despite the fact that parts of his body may have actually died, the adrenaline kept him moving and pushing forward.
Is it the adrenaline is in his soul, or is it the something Cody Rhodes?
Well, see, that's a mystery ingredient. I don't know.
Gotcha.
I do believe that while he was supposedly looking to his mom for inspiration, he was actually looking at the girl two rows behind her with the big jugs that were hanging out. And that gave him the will to fight. Lord knows that would have given me the will to fight too. Fucking Christ!
That would have put the adrenaline in my soul.
Yeah.
Fuck.
A sign of respect by Brock.
Apparently not afterwards. Scripted. Apparently that was just Brock doing what Brock wanted to do.
I mean, isn't that pretty much the way that things work with Brock?
Yeah, essentially.
I mean, who's going to tell him what to do or what to say?
Vincent can't admit that he's not there.
Roman Reigns, because Roman's beat that ass enough times. I'm going to lay down, so if I fall asleep, it's y'all's fault, not mine.
Don't fall asleep then.
We're gonna put shaving cream in your hand and then tickle your nose with a feather.
I stayed up until 4 a.m., so I'm tired.
And then we're gonna draw dicks on your face in permanent marker.
Nope. Can't do that. My dog will bite you.
No, he won't.
No. But it was a pretty good match. Showing the dominance of Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes, of course, overcoming it.
Got the torch passed to him. This is where his storyline starts.
Strong style, Cody Rhodes.
This is now where we can continue the story.
Hmm.
instead of being injured for 9 months and then coming back and having a month and a half of build.
He took the onslaught of the beast and still persevered.
And now we can push him back over to Roman at Mania.
He tamed the beast. All right. Almost 12 minutes is what took one L.A. Knight.
Yeah.
To win the Slim Jim SummerSlam Battle Royal.
It sure was a battle royal.
Yep. A whole 12 minutes of one.
And then I mean, it was over.
Slim Jim was apparently very excited to have him as a spokesperson, though.
Wouldn't you be?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
He's no macho man, I'll tell you that much. Okay.
But listen, this was LA Knight's battle royal to lose, you know.
And the Money in the Bank was his match to fucking lose too, and he lost that shit.
Yeah,
the crowd was on fire with him the whole night.
Same in Money in the Bank.
Yeah,
but maybe the kid couldn't win the one that actually mattered, but he won big at SummerSlam.
I mean, Braun Strowman never won the Royal Rumble, but he won the greatest Royal Rumble, and that's what matters, brother.
I mean, they gave him a green belt.
Yeah, that we never saw again.
Yeah.
But eventually, one name will be the marquee, and that name will be L.A. Knight.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's a fact of life. All right. 7 minutes, probably 5 minutes too long. I can't believe I said that. Shayna Baszler defeated Ronda Rousey by TKO, but by technical submission in an MMA rules match.
That match sucked.
The buildup was so fucking good. It was so fucking good. And then the match just flopped.
So
I actually, from everything I've seen and heard, I actually think they had them taken home early.
Because sucked.
Because it was bad. They weren't connecting. The crowd didn't give two fucks.
Had it been a normal match, it would have been fine. But like, I don't know. It was bad. It was bad. Poor Shayna.
Yeah,
because that was supposed to be her big moment.
Yeah, it was supposed to be her big breaking out moment, is, you know, making her a contender and a dominant force in the women's division for years to come, et cetera, et cetera.
And yet, and it's still May. She told Becky on Raw she was coming for her, so.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely going to do their best to kind of gloss over the actual match and just focus on her beating Ronda so quickly, you know, like, oh yeah, it only took her a handful of minutes to, you know, to put away the quote unquote baddest woman on the planet. Like, that's the point they're going to sell. Mm-hmm. They're not going to talk about anything else. They're going to try to make fans do the best they can to forget about the actual match and just focus on the outcome.
She beat Ronda.
What comes after it, you know? Yeah, she submitted the baddest woman on the planet. Only took her a few minutes, ran her the fuck out of here, you know. Which honestly is what, you know, what you should focus on, even if it was like some 20-minute Matt classic. Like, that's the point of the story, to continue it. But it's just a shame that we couldn't get something somewhere relatively close to the middle of 20-minute all-time great and 7-minute, you know, shit in the middle of the ring fest.
I agree. Mm-hmm. It was not 7 minutes in heaven.
Well, I mean, if you know, if you can find yourself in between the two of them, maybe. But you know, just sitting back and watching it's a little bit different. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think I'm Shayna's type, and I am not remotely interested in Ronda.
Well, you know.
I think
if I had a lot of money, you know, I think I could make that happen. You know what I'm saying? Like I think. I mean, two chicks at one time ain't gonna happen with a guy like me unless I got a lot of money. You know what I'm saying?
That's fair.
It's more of an office-based reference than anything, but
I will say this about Shayna. I mean, the next night when she did come out, and you know, yeah, she did talk to Becky and whatnot. When she came out looking all bruised up and everything, like she actually had gone to like to a war. At least that looked cool, at least to me, right? It made you know I could just imagine. Oh man, they went through a war, and I could just imagine that they went through a great match, even though the match was not good.
I still don't know if that was legit. Like,
you get to rewrite the history,
because like that black eye didn't look fake to me. So I don't know. She might have got walloped once one good time.
I mean, it probably would have been accidental, because we all know that Ronda ain't got hands. Okay. Ronda ain't got no stand-up game, and that's why she lost two in a row and essentially got ran out of her previous sport after people found her fucking kryptonite was just keep her far enough away from you to where you can hit her in the face. She doesn't know how to take it.
Until she takes your ass down, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You gotta keep her at distance. That was the whole thing. Everybody,
exactly.
You know, she would charge in, take him down, and armbar. You know, she was Chris Jericho and everybody. Take him down, armbar. Take him down, armbar. And then, you know, once one person was like, okay, I got a good reach, I got good boxing, Ronda couldn't even get in close enough to try to take her down.
Nope.
And she just got beat the fuck up and knocked out. And then same thing happened a second time. And then everybody was like, damn.
Found her ass out. You know,
found Superman's kryptonite. And now anybody and everybody was going to use that and keep wrecking her. And it, you know, I mean, concussions are the way that once you take one, your chin kind of starts to wear down, and they come that much faster. And
it's like that that second match between Brock and Mir. Like, Mir thought he could just run in and take him down again, and Brock just said, "Yep, fuck you."
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was it. Mir beat him the first time by making Brock fight his match. Mir got a little cocky and was like, I'm gonna try to fight Brock's game, and that's where you fucking fall. That's where you fall.
This was back when I actually cared about UFC.
And then see, Overeem and Velasquez understood, hey, don't let the guy charge in and take you down. It's not gonna work for you. So they stood there and they mixed up their fucking strikes.
Yep.
And they controlled and dominated him. I mean, Overeem, you know, kicked him right in the diverticulitis and it, you know,
and also
crumpled Brock in a heap.
Yeah, also they didn't try to do too much at one time either.
Yeah.
Because they knew the longer the fight went, the more worn out and tired Brock was going to be. And that's exactly what beat him both of those times. He was exhausted.
A sprinter, so he charged in like a bull.
Yep. And then the longer he went, the tireder he got, the least amount of impact.
The more frustrated he would get when he couldn't connect with his shit, and then he would get angry and frustrated, and then they could just capitalize very easily because he started getting sloppy then.
Yup. There's your UFC talk for the year.
That's it. And back when we gave a shit before it became, you know, super wannabe alpha crypto bro stuff.
Fair.
Dana White is currently in a class action lawsuit now with 1,200 fighters alleging illegal business practices against the UFC and Dana White. 1,200 different people.
That's insane.
Right as they're about to do a big merger with the WWE and Endeavor and all that shit, they're now embroiled in a lawsuit that realistically could you know, bring huge losses to the company.
That's fucking insane.
And not just monetarily, but you know, you get that bad press, and then sponsors aren't going to want to pay as much if they want to pay at all, you know. So, good news, WWE. you're getting into bed with an asshole. An even bigger asshole than the one who started you.
Sure.
And also, Triple H apparently will no longer be on the board of directors once the merger takes place.
He's just going to solely focus on creative, which...
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. No, I get that, but at the same time, like, you know, then that means he, you know, he has to rely on somebody else to communicate his needs for him.
Mm-hmm.
Which means it's sometimes harder to get what you want. Yeah, he probably fell asleep, yeah. I don't hear snoring, but he might have muted himself first.
I was accidentally muted. You know, it's funny because I was talking and I didn't realize I was muted, but... yeah. Next match. This match could have gone a little bit longer. Gunther defeated Drew McIntyre to retain the Intercontinental Championship. The reign of Gunther remains.
Continues his reign of dominance. Who will step up? Who will step up to stop the goon train?
Well, next up on that list is Chad Gable.
Good luck there, my friend, my little friend.
He won a fatal four-way match on Monday Night Raw. So
he's gonna get his lungs knocked out of his back and sent out into the third row.
Yeah. Gunther looking great. I mean, I don't know. What do you do with a guy that like Drew McIntyre at this point?
You clearly let him go to AEW, brother.
Yep. Where they'll respect him and put him in the main event every single week and treat him like a world champion should
They'll know exactly what to do with him. Did that sound good?
Title program, he loses, does the Jericho podcast, and then quickly falls off TV.
Speaking of falling off TV, did you see what the pre-show match for Wembley is?
No, sir.
They're world champion.
MJF is in the pre-show?
MJF and Adam Cole will be in a tag team match against Aussie Open.
Hmm.
And that's the pre-show match.
As much TV time as they give those motherfuckers, and you're putting them on the pre-show?
Your world champion.
Even though it's in a tag match, still on the fucking pre-show? Like I said,
They're going to go from teaming up in the pre-show to main eventing the whole thing?
I don't think that there's another match announced involving them.
There is. They announced they made it official. It's MJF versus Adam Cole for the AEW World Championship.
Then why the fuck are they wrestling twice in one night?
I have no idea. But
because there's not enough guys on the roster to fill a card that big, dude.
God, MJF versus Adam Cole was the first match that was made last week.
Holy fucking shit.
We may have even talked about it briefly on the show. Who knows?
I don't think we did. No.
I don't pay attention to AEW stuff that we talk about.
Yeah, I'm not. It's not really soaking into my brain either, but I don't think we did.
Next up, this is my match of the night. Seth Rollins defeated Finn Balor to retain the World Heavyweight Championship. I wish Balor had won, but alas.
Nah. At least Balor can take a power bomb properly now.
Yeah.
That was probably my match of the night too. It was very good. Right man won.
So, I brought this up on a chat the other day, and I figured this would be a good time to talk about this, right? You know, with PWI season being upon us. Just looking at Seth Rollins and everything he's done the last 12 months, specifically, the grading period, you know, June to July, July to June. I don't see why Seth Rollins couldn't be the top five in the PWI, if not numero uno.
I don't really know who's put on more match or better matches than him in this grading period.
I say top five. I don't think he would take top. I don't think he would take the number one spot. I think the number one spot is
Roman. I agree.
Probably going to Roman or MJF.
Well, considering that last grading period Roman was champion, and then the grading period before that Roman was champion, and then going into this grading period to the end of the Roman is champion, I'd have doubts of them putting anybody else, but it is.
Well, it doesn't just come, you know, I mean, like they take into account a lot of factors and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's you have to, you don't, it's not, it's pay to play, and the fact that you got to pay the $35 to put your name in the hat. Like that's the only paying you got to do. You don't pay more to get your name higher up.
I'm sure TK will slip PWI a little bit more money to put.
Well, that's
to get MJF on up number one on that list, even though he can't touch Roman Reigns. But yeah, I'd say Seth top five for sure. Top three more than likely.
I mean, Seth Rollins was what, number one in 2015, number one 2019. So every 4 years now, he could be number one. You know, if he makes it again 2023.
I think it will be taken into account though. Roman was champion for the entire 365
the entire time
period
held you know, against wide array of top contenders in
but
big
matches. How
you know,
many matches?
Internationally defended. You know, what he didn't just defend it in the United States. I mean, there were defenses in
Canada,
you know,
London.
And all of their, you know, yeah, in Saudi and all their different international stops. So I think Roman's probably got it. You would think easily, but yet again, you know, Uncle Dave likes to talk about, you know, AEW, etc. So,
but this is not Uncle Dave's magazine.
Well, that's true. That's true.
I think
they're catering to that fan base too.
Yeah,
which
more
is
than
probably
likely
more likely
Roman
to buy a magazine that they see at a newsstand.
It'll more than likely be Roman 1, MJF 2, probably Seth 3, maybe Gunther 3. Who knows? I'd probably put Seth above Gunther. That's just me though.
Cody? Does Cody get in the top five?
I don't think so. No, because you got a factor.
I mean,
in.
He was out for a long time, right?
Yeah, he was out for most of the grading period.
Yeah, he was out for almost half the grading period. So I think I think Okada's definitely in top five this year. Winning last year's G1 Climax, winning at Wrestle Kingdom, all that stuff, I think puts him in top five.
Yeah.
I mean, he was number two last year. I mean, we're going to get 1-2 Roman Okada, possibly.
Yeah, so I think it's probably Roman, MJF, Okada would be the top three, and then Seth would probably be the four or five, depending on, you know, if there's another AEW guy they feel has done more, they might put him at four or something. But yeah, I think Seth's definitely in top five, but not top three.
So
Seth
el hijo
better than Okada at me.
El hijo del vikingo was number seven last year. Since then, in this new grading period, he finally came over to the U.S. He's had lots of matches,
that had
been able to be streamed and viewed in the United States. Does that give him a possible shot at getting moving up to the top five?
What's he done? Has he won any titles anywhere?
I mean, he's still the
AAA mega champion for a long time.
AAA,
and he's, you know, he's defended the belt in AEW. He's defended the belt in multiple promotions that have streamed his matches.
Yeah,
he's been headlining.
GCW, Ring of Honor, and all these things. He was seven last year. I think he's probably right around there this year. I don't know if he cracks top five.
Keep in mind, that's number seven without the U.S. exposure, right?
Well, but still, a lot of his U.S. matches, like the big ones, like for on AEW and stuff, he lost. He lost to Kenny Omega. That's the biggest high-profile match he had on television, on American TV, was against Kenny Omega, and he lost that match.
You got to think also, they take... It's kayfabe. They take wins and losses into account.
If he's
losing weekly on television, he could be the greatest wrestler on God's given earth. But if he's losing weekly, he's not going to be in the top five.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So here's another Finn Balor was number seven.
Finn's catching left and right.
Finn's catching losses
left and right. Nah.
Yeah, I think he's barely in the top ten, if anything, this year.
Now you know who should be in the top five? Dominic Mysterio. Mr. Goat himself.
Mr. Hard Times.
Mr. North American Champion. Who put on a pretty damn good match with Dragon Lee. Let me just go ahead and say that was a damn good match.
Yeah, Dragon Lee carried that kid to a good match.
No, he didn't. Now that Dom Dom stopped all the lucha shit trying to be Ray Jr. Jr., dude's getting really good in the ring.
All right, here's two more for you. Where does the WWE Tag Team Champions land? Do they land in the individuals?
Well, they'll land in individuals.
It's a singles thing. The tag teams are always ranked individually.
Probably top 25.
I would say 20. Probably top 20. Maybe KO over Sammy, just because KO I think had more singles matches that he won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They both lost to Roman, so that's on their on their agenda.
Yeah, yeah. They had the high profile match, which is cool, but they fucking lost. Yeah. Yeah. So that's it. Like you get points for the big match. Obviously getting to that point is a big thing. But yeah, losing in that big spot is definitely a detriment.
Here's 2 points for getting there, and we're gonna take one away.
We're gonna take one of them away because you fucking lost. Yeah.
So last year's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That being CM Punk, Adam Page, Bobby Lashley, Cody Rhodes, Bryan Danielson, all fall off the top 10.
Okay, one by one. CM Punk, absolutely, because he was gone for most of the period.
Yeah.
Who was 3?
Adam Page.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, next. Somebody talk about falling off the ladder after losing that championship.
Mm-hmm. Lashley.
Lashley's kind of been MIA for a few months, so
he's been MIA, and he was kind of floating midway. Like he was like his matches were high profile, but like
after he lost
at
the belt,
same time,
after he lost the belt to Brock, it was kind of
we don't know what to do with you kind of thing.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And now we're getting it seems like we're getting that Hurt Business 2.0 stable with him.
I mean,
and,
they were gonna feed Bobby to Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania.
And then a whole bunch happened there. That's kind of where he started like drifting, is like he was getting plans for Mania, and then
his opponent fell through, and they were like, oh shit, well we don't know what to do with you anymore, big guy.
Oh, you won the prestigious Andre the Giant Memorial on SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was after Lashley?
That was Cody Rhodes.
He was hurt for half of the period, so yeah.
Yeah, he wouldn't be top 10, I don't think.
Top 15 to 20, maybe.
Yeah.
Bryan Danielson.
More so stable tag team work. Yeah, yeah. I'd say he'd fall out of the top 10. Even though he's one of the top best wrestlers in the world.
I mean, that win over Okada at Forbidden Door 2 is huge.
Biggest match.
But yet again, like you said, the rest of his year, he wasn't doing a lot of big things as a singles competitor.
Hey, remember when you said they wouldn't bring Okada over to lose?
Yeah, I said he wasn't going to come out the job, and he fucking submitted.
Do you want to know when I told, when I knew that he was going to lose? When I heard the opening strands of Final Countdown.
You're like, they're not paying Europe $30,000.
Hell no. Nah. They ain't paying this much money for Bryan Danielson to walk out of this match with an L.
To hear the music only once? Yeah.
Hell no. Nah.
I think the most obvious that he may fall off, who knows, the list altogether. Big E, who was number 9 last year.
Yeah.
Was he even an active competitor during this?
No.
Period at all. I don't think at all. Right?
January. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's been out for more than that. Yeah. So
and
he
now has been out. Advised to never wrestle again.
I mean, they
breaks my fucking heart.
I mean, you know, a lot of doctors told a lot of wrestlers that, and you know, I mean, I think that, you know, they told Bryan Danielson the same thing a few times. Well,
here's the thing. E has already stated multiple times, like, he's going to do what his doctor tells him to do.
Yeah.
And he said his main focus in life was being able to.
Yeah, you know, being a healthy and happy life. Yeah, not wrestle 5 more years to end up in a wheelchair for the rest of your
exactly. Days. And I mean, there are multiple opportunities able to eat. Man is charismatic as fuck. If they want to put him in a commentator,
play by play, man, he'd be
hell amazing. Yeah. He would pop me just so hard.
Do him as a manager, and even then, he could still kind of. You know, trade
let
hands.
Him manage New Day.
Periodically take a bump every once in a while or, you know, something. I mean.
That's what New Day's missing is the, oh, insert city. I miss him so much.
Yeah.
Get well soon, Big E. I love you.
Well, yeah. All right. So, yeah, we'll see. But definitely, I think.
Who was 10?
He said Big E was Jonathan Gresham.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And Jonathan Gresham is I don't even know where the fuck he is. He's way down there.
He's in Impact, but I don't know what he's been doing in Impact.
He hasn't been whatever he's doing isn't been. I mean, he's been having some, like, you know, he's having good matches, but like not big. I mean, he's not a big champion. He hasn't had big, you know, they haven't been main events and all this stuff. So he's over there working. He's working, you know, doing his matches and stuff, but. He was single, yes. Then he was in a tag team, and then he was single again. I don't, you know.
Yeah, I don't think it's top 10 worthy.
No.
Most of the top 10 is probably going to be dominated by WWE and AEW.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly,
like it usually is.
I mean, honestly.
There's usually like one, maybe two international people in that top 10.
Honestly, I don't know outside of MJF who else you would rank in the top 10.
Because just about anybody else has had periods of either absence or they've been doing less as a singles competitor. Yeah. Like, you know, like the usuals would be Mox and Omega and, you know,
what about Osprey?
Danielson, Punk.
Osprey is only on the top 10 of bullshit and less. Fuck that guy.
I don't know if he's earned top 10. Well,
huge win against Omega at Forbidden Door 2.
Yeah, and then. And then 3 weeks later, he beat Okada for the first time in a singles match as part of the G1. So within 30 days, he beat both Kenny Omega and Rainmaker. So that's a huge feat. But then there was a lot of stuff in between, kind of up and down, up and down. And, you know, I would say top 15 for him, but not top 10 because he didn't win. You know, it's not as though he won huge tournament like the G1 or the New Japan Cup or, you know, even the Owen Hart, you know, something like that that would be a big thing that would lead you for a lot of months. He had good matches as always and, you know, he held this title for a little bit. He lost it. He held it, you know, got the belt again. But, like, I don't think he did enough to be top 10, no.
All right. Well, we'll see when the list eventually comes out. All right. Next match here, we're going. Yes, 20 minutes. Bianca Belair defeats Asuka and Charlotte Flair by pinfall to win the WWE Women's Championship.
Who did she pin? Did she pin Asuka or Charlotte?
She pinned
Asuka. I know the answer, right? Asuka. Yeah, it's Asuka, yeah.
Although it was beautiful because Asuka... Charlotte had that figure eight locked in and Asuka slides in the ring and just stares at her and spits that mist right in her fucking face.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It was beautiful. I felt like that match should have been better.
It would have been, but then they added Charlotte Flair into it.
I don't know what it was. It just... It was a good match, but the whole time I'm thinking this match should be better.
I just told you why.
Well, even I can enjoy some of Charlotte's stuff.
Asuka had chemistry with Charlotte. Asuka has chemistry with Bianca. Bianca has chemistry, and Charlotte have chemistry with each other. I think putting the three together just got too clunky.
That's kind of the WWE formula for triple threat match is one of you falls to the outside while two of you wrestle for a while, third one comes in, hits a move on one of the people, gets them out of the ring, and then the other two fight, and they just kind of trade that off for a little bit.
Hey, Charlotte did her moonsault.
So does cool. Work.
Yeah, I mean, of course she's gonna do it. It's a fucking pay per view match, right? It doesn't matter if it.
I was about to say, do you think she hit it? Yes or no?
Did she land on her feet?
No.
No?
No, she just didn't hit it. She never does hit it because she's trash at it.
Yeah.
Now, heartbroken as I was that Asuka lost, 8 seconds later, it made my day. Because we had a cash in. And Io Sky came in running with Bayley, cashed in the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Hit that over the moonsault.
Io Sky is your new WWE Women's Champion.
Yes, she is.
And the surprise, Dakota Kai was a last-minute call-in to come be in attendance. From what I hear, she arrived at the arena during the Intercontinental Championship match.
Is she injured or something? Is that why she wasn't there already?
Yeah, correct. She tore her ACL.
Again.
Yeah, the other one. Yeah,
it's wearing those pants with too big of holes in them. When you run, it like slows you down and it fucks up the way you walk.
But Io Sky, new champion, it was great. It was great to see them. Now, listen, we've talked about Michael Cole, right? And they didn't know you're not a big fan. And Michael Cole may necessarily be a lot of people's cup of tea, right? But man, did he say the line of the night when he said, from the world of stardom to the top of the world. That got me.
It's a good line.
Yeah. As she was excited that Io Sky had become the new WWE Women's Champion. I mean, let's be honest. He couldn't have said that in the Vince McMahon era when he was running things. So, this shows you he can sometimes, go outside the lines.
I like
great that. Line, though. I love that line. Yeah, and Io Sky, eight seconds. She's not a champ.
Can't wait for the showdown down the road of Asuka and Asuka, Io, and Kyrie.
How long before Bayley turns on Io?
Well, Bayley's got to go hit the indie scene so she can fight her arch rival. So I think Bayley's probably getting cut when it ever comes. She'll ask to be released so that she can go fight her arch rival on the indie scene.
Really? You think Bayley wants to go?
She wants to crush that now 16-year-old's dream of ever being a wrestler once and for all.
The money match there is going to be Izzy and Monet. From when Sasha snatched that fucking headband off her head. And snapped it and made it turn on her.
But once Bayley turned heel, Bayley became her arch rival. made that kid cry, double tears, and all that stuff. I like how people are all like, she's set to make her wrestling debut, and I'm like, hey. Florida Shindy's got you beat by like 5 years on that shit, motherfucker. Know your history, okay?
She was taking all kinds of fucking bumps.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she didn't take all kinds of bumps. Effie gave her like the lightest choke slam in the history of ever.
And she that was a power bomb too, didn't she?
I don't remember seeing that. I just remember seeing the video of Effie giving her like the lightest choke slam in the history of ever.
I felt like I remember her getting like a power bomb or something, and the internet like exploded.
Maybe.
Who knows? All right, your 16. Main.
She was 11.
Your main event of the evening. Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, Tribal Combat.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great match for most of part of it. Everything happened as supposed to. Roman, Jey, crap on each other. Solo interfered. Solo got speared by Roman Reigns. Solo was confused. He was pissed. He still attacked his brother. Jey still overcame, and he was about to look like win the match when a masked man interfered. Jimmy Uso betrayed his brother. Why, Jimmy, why? Roman Reigns wins, remains champion, and the tribal chief. Somebody explain to me how Jimmy's actions make sense.
They've been saying it for months. Have you not been paying attention?
I watched wrestling on mute, remember?
Then of course you're not going to understand because you don't hear the dialogue. They've been talking about how the only person that was having issues with Jey becoming tribal chief was Jimmy. When they were talking about grooming Jey, they said that there was one person that didn't agree with it, and it was Jimmy. Like, they've been slowly building to this, but they want you to forget about it. And it seems
was Jimmy not the one to super kick Roman Reigns and cause the Civil War to begin with?
I mean, sure. But people flip-flop back and forth all the time in war.
We wouldn't have tribal combat if it hadn't been for Jimmy.
And Jimmy doesn't want Jey to have all that glory. The only time that they worked well together against Roman is when they shared the spotlight.
So you're saying he didn't try to help Roman, he just wanted to hurt Jey.
Yeah. And the Usos have said for 5 years that they've wanted to fight against each other.
Sure.
So, yeah, it makes sense. They've been building up to it. They've been talking about it. It's been hinted at the whole time.
From what I'm seeing, a lot of the fan base apparently is that they seem to think that move was kind of the jumping the shark moment, to where they feel like that was thrown in just to drag this thing out even further unnecessarily. And yet again, you know, this is probably a very vocal minority, but I feel like they're starting to lose a lot of fans with that one move. And I don't know, maybe, you know, that's the desired effect. You're supposed to be pissed off about it, etc. But like, I don't know if it's the pissed off they want. I mean, people are still watching, obviously. So, you know, that's all they really care about. But it seems like they're going to have to do a little more work over the next few weeks to try and draw the fans back in. And some of the fans are just going, like, when that happened, they were like, seriously? Like, why? Like, they turn, you know, like Patrick's kind of thing. Like, but wasn't he the one who did this? Like, why, you know, like, yeah, there's seeds planted there and all this stuff. But at the same time, they're kind of like, fucking, like, is it just going to go on for the 10 fucking years? Is that how it's going to go? Like, it's now a soap opera. There's never any resolution. The problem just keeps changing and getting worse. And recycling and that kind of thing. So,
but also I mean, with those,
you know, yet again, like I said, that may just be kind of an initial shock reaction, which is what they want. They want you to kind of be shocked and be like, what the fuck? But I think then you have to do some work after to try to draw people back in. And I think that's where they're at right now.
At the time, yes. A lot of it was a lot of what the fuck, this doesn't make sense. But then, yeah. Like, if you think about it and you actually, like, I've been, like, rewatching some of the Bloodline stuff, like, over the past couple weeks, because it's been a really, a really damn well thought out storyline. And, like, you know, Jay said Jimmy getting injured was his blessing in disguise. Like, I wouldn't ever tell, like, I don't have a brother, but I would never be like, huh, you getting hurt gave me my opportunity. I appreciate it, bud. Get hurt again. And you know, yes, Jimmy did super kick Roman to start this all over, but like, Jay's the one that got the title shot. So why wouldn't Jimmy be jealous? Like, hey, I did this. He gets the title shot? That makes no sense. I was the one that kicked him in the face, but he's the one that gets the challenge for the tribal chief? That doesn't make sense. So it's jealousy. It's just straight up jealousy. And like I said, there's been seeds planted. Roman has said that Jimmy was annoyed that they were going to groom Jay. It's just, it's layers. And like Paul Heyman said at the presser, we're in the bottom of the third. We've still got six more innings.
And I think that's where the fans are going. We got six more innings of this shit?
But
we've already had 3 years of it. You're telling me that there's another 6 years? And that's where fans are going like, really? Are you guys really going to be able to make this interesting and compelling?
No.
And keep people engaged for that fucking long?
Obviously, it's not going to go six more years. Paul is just being a worker when he was asked, because I think it was a callback to a couple of pressers ago when they asked where they're at in the storyline. Paul goes, we're in the bottom of the first. We're just getting started. And then like, cause the guy was like, well, last presser, you said we're in the bottom of the first, where are we at now? And he's like, bottom three. So the storyline's wrapping up. We're getting there. The Usos have split from Roman, essentially. Roman's about to go do his own thing, whether that's time off or whatever it is. He's going to get ready for Cody. Solo's going to be doing Solo stuff. And then the Usos feud. So, I mean, essentially the core components of the Bloodline are still there, but it's not really a quote-unquote Bloodline story anymore.
Well, hopefully it'll all be made sense this Friday night on SmackDown. I want more clarity. So,
yeah. You'll never get it if you watch it on mute.
Right. Well, I won't watch it on mute this time. Just see what they have to say.
Just this one's for you, buddy. He's not going to watch it on mute.
All right. So, what do we give this show?
This is a very weak SummerSlam. There was not... I mean, I didn't hate the show, but I didn't love it either.
Yeah, I'm giving it a play B.
I'm giving it about a C-. It was passable. The few good moments were redeeming, but there was some ass. There was some ass-cheek stuff going on there.
Yeah, I mean, it was a few good moments, but like you said, like no real... The matches don't really stand out. There's nothing that you're looking to go back and rewatch as far as a match goes, but there were cool moments that, of course, pushed stories forward, etc. I mean, it's hard. B-, maybe something like that.
And it's so hard too. Like you,
C+,
like you
said, maybe, I don't know.
Coming off of such a hot event too at Money in the Bank, like top to bottom, Money in the Bank was fucking phenomenal.
I mean, maybe the mistake was bringing it back to the States.
Yeah. Detroit, yeah.
And going to Detroit.
The crowd sounded dead the whole night.
I mean, sometimes that's just the arena that's not necessarily the crowd. Yeah. You know, sometimes it doesn't. The sound doesn't carry. Like, you could, people in the arena might have been like, it was fucking deafening, but you can't hear it on TV, you know? Like,
and I saw that there, because there was a group, there's a group that I'm in, and they were like, wow, the crowd sounds dead. And one of the guys at the arena is like, dude, it's massively like deafening in here. Like, is it not translating well? And that's probably all it was. It just, Ford Field is a football arena. It just probably just didn't transfer very well. But like that, the triple threat match, it just sounded like everybody was sitting on their hands the whole match.
Yeah. Well, next up will be WWE Payback, September 2nd, from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So yeah, we're gonna have some people looking for Payback.
With star Mel Gibson,
Jay wants some payback from Jimmy, you know, and Finn Balor, you know, he's feeling some kind of way with Damian Priest.
Can I stop you right there? I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. You got them right.
What did I get right? Oh, the Usos.
You got them right. I'm so fucking proud of you.
Well, one of them finally got a haircut, you know. I could tell them apart now. Yeah, thank you. It only took me like 20 years or whatever. Yeah, they look completely different now. Now I can tell for sure. So
it's like when one of the Bellas got boobs, everybody's like, okay, so it's the one with the boobs and the one without.
Well, see, now you can't even do that because Brie got boobs.
See, I don't pay attention to him enough to know that.
Yeah, she got mama boobs. All right, September 2nd. Is that going head to head with All In?
That's going. It's not only just going head to head with All In. It's going head to head with college football as well.
Well, but no, hold on. I think All In is
no. All In is Sunday, so it's going head to head with Collision again. And college and week one of college football.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Because All In, yeah, no, because All In is on August 27th. Yeah. So
it's All Out weekend. It's All Out weekend, not All In. Sorry, because they're doing All In on the 27th, and then the 3rd is All In or All Out.
How are they doing? Like, how are they? Whatever. I'll get to that in a moment. All right, and then, of course, as I said before, on the way to the Payback, August 22nd, NXT presents Heat Wave, where, like I said, Ilja Dragunov and Trick Williams will be facing off. Nathan Frazier will be facing off against Noam Dar for the Heritage Cup. And Carmelo Hayes will be defending the NXT Championship against an opponent that hasn't been decided yet.
Wade Barrett.
Barrett Barrage.
Possibly, the winds of change are upon us.
Possibly Dijak.
Probably Dijak.
And, Tiffany Stratton may also be putting her championship on the line. So that's what's up for that. Now, this is also something Danny alluded to earlier. Of course, as we come up to WWE Payback, Payback is scheduled to be, if everything goes according to plan, the last premium live event, pay-per-view, network special, call it whatever you want, in the WWE umbrella, WWE history, because the merger of the UFC, WWE Endeavor, forming TKO Holdings, is scheduled to close sometime in the middle of September. So, Payback is going to be quite a show to remember because it's going to be the last one of the, you know, I mean, even though Vince was still going to be in charge, still the WWE, the Titan Sports era. As Titan Sports is coming to an end. So pretty big there. But along with that, as Eddie mentioned, the board members have been for the new TKO group have been named. Per the agreement, Endeavor gets to name 6 people, and WWE gets to name 5. UFC gets none. Mm-hmm. So Endeavor will be represented by Ari Emanuel, Egan Durbin, Jonathan Kraft, Sonia Medina.
Jonathan Kraft?
Yeah.
Like the Jonathan Kraft?
A Jonathan Kraft. Sonia Medina, Mark Shapiro, and Nancy Tellum. I believe so. I believe Mr. Kraft's oldest son, I think, right? Isn't he?
Yeah. Hot fucking damn. Okay. Let's go, Endeavor.
Who is this person?
He's the owner
the son of Robert Kraft.
Robert Kraft, who owns the New England Patriots. Let's fucking go.
The heir apparent of the Kraft, you know.
Cheese, you know, family fortune.
No, yeah. It's not the Kraft cheese.
Them singles aren't just for cheese, y'all.
It's not the Kraft cheese.
That's it's not called the Kraft Group, which they sell cheese.
Mm-hmm. No.
So WWE will be represented by Vince McMahon. Of course. Vince McMahon is not just on the board of directors. He is the chairman of.
Of course. Of course. Why not?
He's been at the helm will be the chairman of TKO Group Holdings. And he included in the board Nick Khan, Steve Coonan, and Kerry Wheeler. So there's still one spot left for WWE to fill.
We're having a ladder match to determine the next entrant in the
Who knows, right? I mean, it could be one retired Stephanie McMahon Levesque. There's still a chance that they could put Triple H in it, but I think they're gonna let him focus on the company side of the stuff, much like Dana White, you know, even though he's the president of UFC, not on the board, but the lead president, Nick Khan, is. So we'll see who Vince McMahon will choose to add to the board of directors. Obviously somebody who's
gonna kiss his ass on live television. Yeah.
Pretty much. Somebody who's gonna vote alongside with him.
Sure that, like, you know, like all the great rulers in history, they always pick a bunch of fucking yes men, right?
So yeah.
The Kraft
gonna pick his close personal friend, former president of the United States, Donald Trump.
Yeah, maybe he's holding out. Maybe if Trump doesn't get the nomination for president, does not get elected president, maybe he can put one of Trump's kids
on the board or something. You know, do the kid a solid, help him break into the biz.
So, yep.
The Krafts don't own Kraft.
Those are your 10 board members right now. You'll see how, you know, hey, maybe we can do a battle royal.
I already said it's a ladder match, okay? It's a ladder match. Mm-hmm. You get to cash in and take the fucking spot, okay?
All right. Okay.
Kraft cheese.
All in. So here are currently the announced matches. Like Eric said, I think Eric did say it, right? Aussie Open versus Better Than You, Bebe.
That's a long fucking name.
It's a terrible fucking name.
And this is for the ROH World Tag Team Championships.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have FTR defending the AEW World Tag Team titles against the Young Bucks.
In your pay-per-view opener.
Hikaru Shida will be defending her AEW Women's Championship against Tony Storm, Soraya, and one more person to be determined.
Yeah, and on those three names, gee, I wonder which one's going to win.
Darby Allin and Sting will be facing off against the Mogul Embassy's AR Fox and Swerve Strickland in a tag team coffin match.
Damn, AR Fox on pay-per-view. Who would have fucking thought, huh?
Mm-hmm. And, of course, MJF defending the AEW World Championship against Adam Cole.
That's the whole card? That's like five matches. There's usually like 17 fucking matches on these shows.
Hey, we're still...
And that's the main card. There's also like 12 fucking matches on the undercard.
Well, the Aussie Open versus Better Than You, Baby, is the pre-show.
I know. I remember that. We talked about that an hour ago. My memory's not that bad, okay?
So one match announced for the pre-show, four matches announced for the main card.
Of 17.
So still a lot. Still to book. You had to make sure you get Sting there, though.
Of course.
The El Ocho, Chris Jericho, his house, you know, JAS is not fine. I think everybody's left him except for Sammy. So it's just see what he'll do with the card. Moxley, the rest of the Blackpool Combat Club, still no match for them. Kenny Omega, nothing on the card for him. I figure all the people will be on the card. We haven't even finished booking All In, and we're already booking All Out because apparently Luchasaurus will be defending the TNT Championship against Darby Allin at All Out a week later on September 3rd.
And they're both on pay-per-view?
Yes.
All right. $60, and then a week later you got to pay another $60. Not bad. Mm-hmm.
And in between, you just watch
19 other shows.
Payback.
19 hours of All Elite Wrestling in order to make sure that you're up to date with everything.
And then that's not even including the, you know, being the elite. All the
YouTube shows and podcasts and travel blogs and stuff of every other person on the roster that you got to watch just to stay in the storylines too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Let's briefly move back to the G1 Climax in Japan, Danny. Your quarterfinals where Naito defeated Hikuleo, Will Ospreay defeated Dave Finley, Evil defeated Sonata, and Okada defeated Zack Sabre Jr.
It's down to the final four, and you got four top fucking guys. You know, I mean, that's what it comes down to. And so that means that the matches that we'll have, the semifinals will be Naito versus Ospreay. Mm-hmm. And then Okada versus Okada. Yeah. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Kazuchika Okada was an outstanding fucking contest. And I would have been happy with either one winning, actually. But, you know, it's the fucking Rainmaker, and he's, as they were saying in commentary, like, he's already lost three times in this calendar year in the last 365 days, and that's about as much as he probably loses in, you know, clean, you know, he loses singles matches for a long time. So, you know, it's always hard to bet against the Rainmaker. But coming off a few big losses and moving forward, I think there's going to be additional motivation. He wants to win that third one in a row and be the, you know, be and match, uh, you know, the man who became synonymous with the G1 and Masahiro Chono, who won three in a row. The only other person ever to win three in a row. Okada's already won it four times total, two of them back to back. Let's go ahead and make it fucking five. Come on.
Well, it's almost there. I mean, it could happen. But they're going to be great matches. Ospreay and Naito, Evil on Okada. Of course, that happening on a couple of days, August 12th. And then August 13th, we're going to get the finals. Would it be Ospreay or Naito versus Okada or Evil? You're thinking Okada's going to take it all the way?
I mean, I think that's probably the most likely answer. Yeah, is regardless of whether it's Naito or Ospreay that wins, I think they'll be facing Okada.
Yeah. Well, any of those would be fine for me. I mean, I can't wait. I mean, it's been a great G1.
I love the 20-minute time limits. I think that's an amazing thing. It pushes the action. It makes the show feel like it's flowing better because the matches are shorter and they're still fucking outstanding matches, despite, you know, showing that you don't have to go 45 minutes to be an awesome match, which New Japan kind of fell into that where, you know, it's a main event, so it's got to go, you know, this long. And okay, well, the fourth match in went 15 minutes, so the next match has to go longer than that, and so on and so on. And that's when you find yourself with 40 and 50 minute main events. And that's cool and all, but that's kind of fucking exhausting. And especially when you're doing a whole lot of shows in a shorter amount of time, like the G1. Mm-hmm. So it's outstanding. It pushed the pace. It made you know, all the wrestlers seem like they were kind of having to race against the clock, etc. So I certainly hope that's something that stays. Whether they go back to two blocks or four blocks next year, I hope we stick with the 20-minute time limit.
Yeah. All right. So once we are all done with the G1, we come to the United States for the All-Star Junior Festival USA. Will be held in Philadelphia August 19th. And so far, we have Jordan Oliver, Nick Wayne versus El Desperado and Mao. Takahashi and Rocky Romero versus Blake Christian and Master Wato versus Dookie and Lil Ryder. Kevin Knight versus Clark Connors. Francesco Acura versus Mike Bailey. Both matches, first round matches of the festival tournament. And then Matt Sydal and Yo versus Bushi and Sean Skywalker in tag team action. So that's really fun in the States. And of course, that follows.
Our own Tamika will be there in attendance at the 2300 Arena, putting in the fucking work, paying the dues.
The next day, at the same venue, the Multiverse United 2, for whom the bell tolls, it'll be the Impact and New Japan co-branded show. And this is going to be a good one. Alex Shelley defending the Impact World Championship against Hiroshi Tanahashi. Leo Rush and Trey Miguel versus Takahashi and Mike Bailey. Sexy Junior and Shane Hayes versus Moose and Eddie Edwards. Dookie versus Sami Callihan. And then a scramble match. Dimbushi, Chris Sabin, Elvis Prado, Frankie Kazarian, Kevin Knight, Mayo, and Rich Swann. So, yep, another fun show. So here it could be back-to-back shows where we will see our lovely Mika Villas, who's on assignment somewhere today.
I mean, she probably won't be on camera, so we definitely won't see her. Yeah. She'll be working, so she won't be at ringside screeching like a like the Banshee. But we know she's there, and that's what counts.
Definitely. All right. Is there a lastly? I don't believe there's a lastly.
Ric Flair claims that he fell asleep at some point during his retirement match.
Doesn't shock me.
I think in traditional Nature Boy fashion, he's kind of downplaying the severity of what happened. You know, I when he says he fell asleep, I think he means he lost consciousness and was legally dead for a small amount of time, and then
not
you know,
fucking dead.
Somebody slammed him, and it kind of snapped him back. You know, snapped his soul back into his body,
restarted his fucking heart.
And yeah, restarted his fucking heart, and
what the fuck?
And he continued carrying on, and you know,
Jesus Christ.
That's why he was so visibly fatigued at the end. Not because he had fallen asleep and was tired, because
he was dead.
You know, he had started to he had started his pathway to the other side and was snapped back when he saw that there weren't a bunch of clouds up there; it was a bunch of fucking flames. So he. He tried to make his way back as quick as he could.
Now, what? Well, how am I gonna ask this? Never mind. I don't think it's gonna come out good.
I just talked about the Nature Boy going to hell instead of heaven. Go ahead and say what you're gonna say, okay? I said the motherfucker died in the ring and he's going to hell, and he was shocked by that. So whatever you're gonna say is probably not gonna be that bad.
I think I'm just gonna pass on that one. But Charles Sheaf. But yeah, the Nature Boy, he's gonna outlive everybody, isn't he?
Well, it's you know, I mean, it's to him, it's better than the alternative. So,
going to hell.
He's seen where he's gonna. He knows for certain now. Where he's going to be, so he will now more than ever live every day like it's his last.
He's going to live like he's dying.
Yeah, because he's already fucking dead.
One person or entity that is not dead is, oh my gosh. Speaking of death, why is Chris Benoit showing up on my timeline?
What timeline do you have?
The interweb. I was on the X.
Okay. The X, yeah. X gonna give it to you. I don't know. What are they talking about with the with Redacted? I'm not on the socials as much. I definitely don't follow the feeds. I just kind of jump in randomly and look at a couple
posts and hop off. Anything. I just saw his picture and decided to move on.
Well,
my Twitter was popping last night. I don't know about y'all, but
like I said, I'm not on it to watch what's happening. What were they talking about last night?
Oh, my shit was popping with Taylor last night, bro.
You were on Swifty X. Yeah, we're not on that, sir.
Well, you need to get on it because it's 1989 Taylor's version now. We're here. The greatest in the history of album releases is now upon us on October 27th. I am ranting about Taylor Swift. You let me finish, sir.
But you do know the Eras Tour is not over there yet, right?
I do understand that. Yes, I know better than you that it's not over. Trust me.
You know that shit's fake, right?
It is not fake. I can promise you.
You know. Everything she ever writes about is just made up fabrications. Okay,
that's false. We went through it last night on Swifty Twitter. You know, we thought mother was going to disappoint us. We were waiting patiently.
She looks very young to have so many grown children.
God, she has so many children. We waited patiently, and she was dropping hints. She was dropping hints the whole concert. The bracelets were glowing blue every now and then. She came out in four brand new, beautiful blue dresses. Blue is the color of 1989 for you uncultured swine.
I was there in 1989, and I do not remember the color blue being that present.
And then,
at least no more than any other colors.
And then she stepped up to the mic, and Taylor Allison Swift gave us what we've been craving for the last couple months, and it's 1989 Taylor's version. I personally bought vinyl at 3 a.m. I would tell you guys to go buy the deluxe edition CDs, but all four variants are sold out. So you can just get your normal 89 Taylor's version CD with poster. You could also get your Crystal Skies blue vinyl, or you could get your 1989 Taylor's version cassette.
There you go. And I think there's no better way to end the show than with that. Thank you all for listening to another week of FLW Live. We'll be back next week as we continue to get on the roads for All In, All Out, and everything in between. And of course, the waves continue to get hotter and hotter, having anyway. So yeah, I noticed this. I lost my third thought on that closing, but anyways, whatever. Make sure you follow us on the Twitter. I am losing my entire script. All right. Follow us on Twitter
at FW Radio.
Danny's on Twitter at Danny F in Danger. Eric's on Twitter at EJ423X. I'm on Twitter at YellowmanPA. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and Amazon Music, Spotify, wherever it is you can hear a podcast. We'll be back next week, Wednesday, mostly Wednesday. And yeah, unless something else comes up.
Sorry, I had to watch Taylor Swift last night. Taylor was more important than this podcast.
Yeah. Well, we understand your priorities. But hopefully not next week. We'll be back on Wednesday. Until then, keep watching wrestling.
Thank you, Taylor.
Booyah.